We've got a good one for you, Magic fans. The latest installment of Orlando Magic Pod Squad, and it features the Minister of Defense, Jonathan Isaac, stops by the pod. And Magic fans, remember the Florida Department of Transportation reminds you that fans don't let fans drive drunk. If you've been drinking, don't get behind the wheel. Instead, find a sober driver or catch a ride service. Remember, drive sober or get pulled over. Have a great night and drive safe. Oh, we get into everything with Jonathan Isaac on this edition of Magic Pod Squad. What are his emotions as he is ready to take on a playoff game for the first time in 5 seasons? He breaks that all down. And the journey, the long, arduous road that he has taken to be healthy and to be back and ready to go into the postseason for the Orlando Magic. His thoughts on Paolo Banchero and Franz Wagner, what they might see here in the postseason, and what it's going to take for the Orlando Magic to come away victorious against the Cleveland Cavaliers. Some good stuff. We have a lot of fun with Jonathan Isaac on this edition of Magic Pod Squad.
This is Franz Wagner of the Orlando Magic.
This is Cole Anthony.
This is Jalen Suggs.
This is Paolo Banchero of the Orlando Magic, and you're listening to the Pod Squad.
And welcome, everyone, to another edition of Orlando Magic Pod Squad. Dante Marcatelli, George Galante, David Steele, and we are very excited to be joined by the Minister of Defense, Jonathan Isaac, joining us here as we gear up for Game 1 of the NBA postseason coming your way. At the time of this recording, the game will be 2 days away. This is on Thursday, and I know everybody's excited. I got my Everybody In shirt on, right? You guys don't have yours, but I got mine on. I'm all in on the new slogan.
I didn't get one of those. That's get nice one of those shirt.
Right? All right. I know a guy. I'll hook you guys
up. Okay. All right.
But as we get ready for this, Game 1 coming on Saturday, J.I., thanks so much for joining us. We're excited to catch up with you. I got to think this is probably the most days you've had off in a year. How has it been the last week here to kind of have a little time off to gear up for this postseason game?
Yeah. Thanks for having me. It's been great, honestly. It's like the calm before the storm. Yeah, we get a chance to get into the gym, rest a little bit, and then kind of fine-tune and figure out what we're doing, strategy and everything like that, and got a chance to run up and down a little bit today, so all good.
You know, thinking about this, real quick, Joe, I was thinking about this, Joe. You know, you're one of four guys that has ever experienced a postseason, right? There's 18 guys on the roster. You're one of the four that's been there. You were there, and, you know, you got to go back to 2019. What do you remember about your first trip to the postseason, and what are you how are you attacking it differently this go around?
Yeah, I just remember it being just super intense. There was that lure of like mystery of not knowing what to expect. That definitely heightened like the emotions of it, the mental of it all. And then once you get into the game, you start to understand, like, you know, what everybody was saying was true, and some things weren't true. And you just have to play. But the attention to detail, the energy level, the, you know, every guy on the roster, everybody that touches the floor is willing, or should be, or really is willing to do whatever it takes to win the game on both sides of the floor. And it truly does come down to who's more equipped, who's making shots, who's able to execute, and who's able to minimize, game plan mistakes that they're trying to take away.
So along those lines, have the guys been leaning on you and Joe and Gary a little bit? Because they're, like, again, like Dante said, you guys are the only ones that have been through this in any capacity on this roster.
I mean, we've been vocal, but I feel like, the more that you go into it in terms of like, oh my gosh, you guys don't know what you're going to expect. It's so tough. Like, but what coach has done job of is just, hey, it's basketball. Yes, we're taking this to another level in terms of our detailing. We control our own energy. And when I think, you know, when we've been right, we've been amazing when it comes to energy level, locking in, defensive strategy, all the things like that. So I don't have a concern there. But what I love is coaches like, it's basketball. Like, everything's going to be crazy, but if we can stay tight, stay in, not allow any distractions, and just stay focused, really, we'll be just fine. So if anybody's asking me, I'm telling them the same things. It's going to be different. But it's definitely something that you can handle, and I don't want to hype it up too much to where, you know, you get in your own way.
You know, Jonathan, George just alluded to it. The Magic don't have a lot of players with playoff experience. I think Joe's played in 50 games, maybe 6 postseasons. You and Markel, Gary Harris, Cleveland, a lot of guys that have been through a lot of the playoffs. And I think there's a perception around the league that the Magic don't have the experience in the postseason to make a serious run this year. How would you answer that?
Well, I mean, if what you're going off of is experience, then, you know, then you have a point. You know, it is what it is. But I think that we have done an amazing job at accepting the challenge, you know, when we've needed to. You go on the 3-game road trip losing streak, and then come home and have to do a do or die game in our minds against Milwaukee, a team that blew you out, you know, a few games beforehand. We treated that like a game 7 in a playoff series, and we responded and handled our business throughout the entirety of the game. And so I'm not looking at it from that standpoint of, you know, what we don't have. I'm looking at it from our strengths, who we are as the individuals, our collective superpower, which is defense, and our size and our versatility. And I don't think that there's a team that matches up against us well, you know, for a series. And so that's how I feel. I think that's how we feel. And we'll just see how it unfolds.
Coach Mosley the other day said Paolo and Franz, they're mature beyond their years.
Sure.
You're in that locker room. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. I think it's obvious, you know, for Paolo to be in the position that he's in as a second-year guy, Franz to be a third-year guy, and to lead a team, you know, into the postseason in the way that they have, it's been remarkable. You know, I think they're both, I've seen some stat, they're both, you know, amongst LeBron or somebody else in some type of category, you know, that sets them apart from a lot of other guys. So, you know, respect to them and you know, how they've been able to handle everything, and they've been able to handle the ups and downs of the season. Because everybody, you know, Franz went on a streak of not playing too great, and he's, you know, found a way to get back. He's had up and down throughout the season, and they both responded when it's necessary. So I'm expecting them to carry on that trend into the postseason.
Now that you got the regular season in the books, take us back to training camp. Take us back to kind of how you were feeling and how you were looking at the start of the camp to where you are now. I mean, it's got to feel like it was a couple years ago. How long ago? Training camp seems like forever ago. But just take us through this season that you just had, 58 games, 16 minutes a night, and where you thought you were and how you are now.
Yeah, I don't even remember training camp, honestly.
Right, I don't blame you.
Yeah, I mean, you know, going into the season, there was a lot of what ifs surrounding me, and even in my own mind about, you know, am I going to be able to stay healthy? You know, where am I going to be at in the rotation? Am I ever going to get off a minutes restriction? That was all there throughout the entirety of the season, and it's been amazing to just watch it unfold. The ups and downs of the season of, you know, trying to find my shot, trying to find where I fit in, trying to find all these different things. Going through the conditioning and then just the body aches and the soreness of playing a lot of minutes and back-to-backs, that stuff we've been trying to figure out. So it's just been, I would say there's been a lot of grace, you know, extended from the coaching staff to me, the team to me, my teammates to me, and seeing me in one day, out one day, you know, and sticking with me. And then now we get to the point where we're shaping up and, you know, by the grace of God, I'm able to play, you know, extended minutes and you know, for my sake, and you know, be a contributing factor to the team.
Jay, I don't want you to go back to training camp. I want you to go back to game 82, where we were coming off the losing streak. We are heading into that game, and Coach Mosley obviously pulls you into the office and says, "Hey, you're starting tonight for us against the Bucks." What went into that conversation? How did you feel? And obviously, the whole culmination of maybe you being in and out the way that you were all season was to get to April and game 82 and the playoffs. And here we are. So what was that like when Mose called you in and said, "Hey, listen, J.I., we're going with you. Let's go."
Yeah, it was a lot, honestly. Like, you know, I found out the day before, you know, we were with the team. Wendell had injured his back. And, you know, he was working through that, and we're in the meeting and coach says, "J.I., start." And so it was a lot of emotions. Like, one, you know, I'm excited. I'm ready to accept the challenge. There's the, okay, you know, I haven't played that much at the five with this specific group. You know, I started coming in, you know, towards the end of the middle of the first quarter and getting some running with them, but there hasn't been a ton of time for me to understand where I'm going, what things are doing. And so, you know, it was kind of quick. And, you know, for me, it's just about, you know, accepting the challenge, trying my best to play as hard as I possibly can and to be a help to my teammates. And I'm glad that the Milwaukee game went the way that it went.
You know, J.I., I'd like to maybe take a wide view of your journey, you know, where you've come from. You came as the number 6 pick in 2017. You had an injury-riddled rookie year. He had a great second year in the league, helped the team get to the NBA playoffs. Then, in, I guess, January 1st of 2020, first knee injury. Then you come back in the bubble. You stand for your faith in the bubble. You injure your knee again in August of 2020. You're out for 2.5 years trying to get back on the court. You finally get back last January. You have another injury about a month into that season, and you bounce back once again. And here you are, having played 58 games. You're one of the top defensive players in the NBA. I just wonder what goes through your mind. What have you learned? What has this experience, this journey, what has it meant to you?
You know, I was literally earlier today just in my car just reflecting on literally everything that you just said about the entirety of the journey. And I feel like, you know, a lot of people don't know, obviously you don't know the behind the scenes or what goes into the day-to-day of going through that process that you just talked about, the injury. You're coming back from one injury, you injure something else. While you're coming back from that injury, you injure something else. It's been nothing short of just difficult. You know, the mental battle of trying to stay locked in, the monotony of, you know, day in and day out of doing the same things over and over again, seeing the same people, working with the same people over and over again. And I was in my car and I was just saying, God, I'm grateful to you for your faithfulness. And I'm seeing the reality in my life of what God can do and the truth of his word. Because, you know, a lot of people trust in a whole bunch of different things. You know, you put your trust in this for that. And for me, throughout this entirety of this process, I have tried my best. It hasn't been perfect, not even close, but I have tried my best to put my faith in Christ and say, I don't know where I'm going. I don't know how I'm going to get there. I can't see the finish line. I've had setback after setback, but I'm trusting you to get me to where you want me to be. And I'm going to try my best to honor you throughout the process in the midst of my ups and downs. You know, I have amazing people around me, my wife that has stuck with me throughout the entirety of the process, my family, my church family, my pastor. And now I get to the place where, you know, I'm starting game 82 of the season and we'll see what happens, you know, during the post and where we go with that. But just, it's been nothing short of just, to me, just a miracle low key. And I don't know who is took off 904 days from, you know, basketball with injuries and come back and,
right.
Has done what I've done, and you know, no, honestly, no glory to myself. I'm grateful, and I just want to just continue to trust him and move forward. And if he can do this, what else can he do? And you know, who knows what we'll end up in the postseason and what we'll do. But I'm believing for the best and the biggest thing that we could possibly do, which is win it all. And so that's been it.
It's an amazing outlook. You know, I think about, you've got such a following, and you've got so many people. You know, I see the messages and the positive messages that you'll put out there sometimes, and it got such a great response and reception. But every day isn't easy. Every day isn't easy. So what would you say? So many people are going through something right now. And what is your message to them? When things get hard, as it did for you, what do you tell people? What's your motivation for them?
Yeah, I think there's twofold. I think, you know, there's the people who are outside of Christ that are going through difficulty in their lives. They're trying to figure out who they are and what they're doing. My advice to them would be to turn to Christ. That the fulfillment of my life has been so much, you know, so grand outside of basketball. And my life literally used to be just basketball. It was video games and basketball. And now to see how I've grown as an individual, as a man, as, you know, to a husband, to a father, it's been because of my faith in Christ and allowing him to lead my life. And so there's that point. If you're in a place where you don't know who you are, you don't, and then you don't know where you're going, turn to Christ. And then the people that are in Christ, I would say to remain faithful. And, you know, one of the things that I put on my Instagram today was that, you know, negative circumstances are a test of faithfulness. And I wanted to get to a place in my life where my faith in Christ, obedience to him, my faithfulness to him wasn't predicated on everything going the way I wanted it to go. And I have seen that the more that I have just stuck with it, remained faithful, God has been faithful to me. And so that those would be the two things I said.
Awesome. Well said.
Very good. J.I., I know, you know, as a Christian, part of what is all, you're all about is to be a servant. And that's kind of the attitude that you have. And I've noticed that Jamal Mosley has pretty much a similar type of point of view. I mean, he's a guy that really wants to make everybody better. He's got a servant attitude as well. Does that permeate the locker room? Is that part of what the Magic is all about because of maybe the coach, his attitude, your attitude?
Yeah, I really think so. I think throughout the entirety of the season, coach has harped on, you know, by committee and doing things together and as a team. We've done things outside of the court, on the court together. But that this idea that everybody can contribute, and at different points in the season, we've needed other guys to contribute and to step up and to make shots and to make plays from guys that you wouldn't expect or from the guys that aren't usually doing it all the time. And so I think this season has been a bye season where we find ourselves, in the fifth seed in the Eastern, conference, ready to, take on a playoff series. It hasn't all been on one player. Tons of guys have contributed to get us to where we are right now.
But doesn't that make it a little more satisfying, J.I., that it's been that way, that you can look at it as a group effort? That, I mean, 1 to 15, everybody has had a moment at some point during this journey to the playoffs.
Yeah, it makes it fun. You feel like you're a part of something bigger than yourself. Everybody's bought into that. And it has been a truly enjoyable time. We really like each other. It's not really fake. Like, we really do enjoy being around each other. And I think that's healthy and good as you're getting ready to go into battle. There's going to be teams that fragment, as soon as something goes wrong. But I think that we've been through enough tests to be able to come together and regroup no matter what happens.
Has there been a highlight for you? Like, has there been a highlight just for you for the season or a couple of moments that stand out, something that really stands out to you?
There's a few games. There's one game that I didn't play in. It was Denver, up in Denver, where I'm watching from the sideline. I'm watching a team find their belief throughout the game and just claw their way back into a win. I thought that was really cool. I think a big one was probably this Milwaukee game, this past one, just do or die. Who are we as a group? Are we a team that's going to, we got hit, we got hit early. I think they got off to an early lead and we were able to bunker down and show who we are as a basketball team, lock in defensively, shots started to fall. I think the couple games season that have solidified our identity, and those are two of them.
You got to play in the NBA. You got to play 65 games to be eligible for the postseason awards. You would be on an all defensive team. I mean, it just changed this year. You would be on one of the all defensive teams. There's no question about it. We've seen you long enough to know you are our best defensive player and probably the best defensive player in the league. What is your mentality as you go into this playoff series, knowing what you bring defensively?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it's not even. I don't even know the right way to say it. Like, I'm not going to the game like I'm going to do this or I'm going to shut this guy down. I just try to play as hard as I can play. And a lot of times I find myself in the right place at the right time. I'm trying to make my matchup as difficult as I possibly can on the person that I'm guarding. That gets blocks and steals and being in the right place and altering shots. And a lot of times when I'm out there, I'm just kind of lost in effort and trying to play really hard, and it turns into, great defensive plays. And so, I'm not necessarily, I believe I'm the best defensive player in the NBA. That's a chip that I'll wear. It'll add fuel to the buyer of not being able to because of the rule. I get it. I think the rule is important, but, it'll just drive me to try my best to be a defensive minister in this series.
Watching you play defense is really fun. I mean, we really, really enjoy it. And, there are times when you come into the game that if the team is a little sluggish when you're not starting, we'll see what happens on Saturday. But a lot of times you'll provide that spark. But there are other times, it seems, when the crowd kind of generates. When you make a good play, then the crowd goes crazy, and then it just seems to snowball. What about the effect of that in having a Jalen Suggs, Franz Wagner, who are also elite defenders alongside of you?
Yeah, no, we've had... I say it all the time. We've had games where I wasn't playing and we put on defensive masterclasses. So I'm definitely not the only, defensive minded guy on the team. Jalen Suggs is different. What he's been able to do to, premier guards throughout the league, throughout this entire season. And Boog is an absolutely slept on defender. He has continued to get as a young guy defending, rebounding. You got Mo down there. You got Wendell down there. We've got G Harris, who's picking up full court. AB was in a full court. Cole has continued to get better. And so
Paolo getting better too. Paolo's getting there.
we've continued to grow in that identity. And I think with the fan base too, is like, I think they're on the same process as us. Like they're finding their belief here and there, and we'll have, and they'll go, I don't know. Like, do we really believe? And we'll come back out, do this. And, oh my gosh, can you guys do this all the time? Like, on this ebb and flow of finding our identity and our footing, and get into the postseason. This season has been huge for us, and going into the next season, who knows what's going to happen? I think that this season has solidified that we're a team worth looking at, and we're going to continue to push this farther.
I think I asked you this the other day, Jonathan, but is there any chance that Jalen and Mo Wagner's heads might literally explode during the postseason?
It's definitely going to be a month to do that. Yeah. Definitely game one. whether it's a good thing that happens or a
yes. bad
thing that happens, we're definitely going to see some emotion. We can go into the game talking about, let's stay focused all we want. You know, it's a part of who we are with those guys. You know, they're emotional guys, and they wear it on their sleeves, and it's a part of who they are, and it's a part of what makes them so good. And obviously there's times where you got to pull it back and get into it with the refs and all that stuff, but they wouldn't be who they are without it.
J.I., what is the sense you feel in the community about this team? I mean, you've been here you're the longest tenured member of the Magic. You've seen it all at this point. What's your sense of the fans and everything in the community when you're out and about?
Yeah, I think it's just growing, and it should be. It should be with the way that this team has trended and but where we've come from. The lulls of the Magic seasons, and it's been, you know, it's been amazing to watch the rise of us. I remember they had me speak into a the season ticket holders reps or the meeting or whatever, and I said for them to be telling the season ticket holders who are going to be buying, I said, you know, you don't want to get in too late. Like the time is now to kind of punch that ticket, because we're going to rise. And there's still so much room for us to grow. We're definitely not there yet. But I think Coach Mo and the front office has figured out a winning identity and how they can plug players in, plug players out. Who knows? That they'll continue to move forward and the Magic will be successful.
They should have given you commission out of that meeting.
Seriously, yeah, I hope you got commission off of that.
Get them on the sales staff.
What are things that Paolo and Franz don't know? What do they not know that they're about to experience? A lot of attention is going to be on them on the offensive end. What are some of the things that they're about to experience, and what makes them so unique and talented that they'll be able to handle it?
Yeah, I think what they're going to experience is the level of detail that the other team is going into specifically focused on them. So it's not just about this is what we're going to do against them. They're looking at tendencies. They're looking at when Paolo's going right, this is what he's doing. When Paolo's going left, this is what he's doing. When he turns his back, this is what he's doing. And they're going to try their best to hedge that as much as possible to better themselves. And so I'm sure that early in the game, as the game goes on, they're going to pick up on, oh wow, I haven't seen this yet this year. This defense, the way that they're guarding, they may switch, they may double, they may do all these different things. And they've seen a bunch of that this year, but there's definitely going to be new things that, you know, other teams haven't done, just with the level of, I'm sure, film that they're watching and everything like that. But they've adjusted. Like to think about for Paolo to be in the position that he's in, and to have teams so heavily focused on him, so heavily focused on Franz, they have still produced, you know, at a high level, for us to be in the position that we're in right now. So I have, you know, no doubt that they're going to be able to adjust and figure out how to put the ball in the basket, how to get other guys involved. And it may take some time during the first game, but they'll get to it. They're both highly, high IQ players and highly motivated players, and they're not going to lay down. They're going to want to figure it out and get going.
Speaking of high IQ players, Joe Ingles has been FaceTiming, apparently, Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah,
last couple of days, those guys were teammates in Utah. And Donovan Mitchell said today, he said, I'm tired. You know, I hope I've only got one more FaceTime with Joe. But what do you think that looks like? What does that look like? Joe Ingles and Donovan Mitchell FaceTiming.
Well, it's definitely just Joe Ingles talking crap the entire time. just telling Donovan we're going to beat him, and telling Joe's probably giving away all our secrets, honestly. Joe's going to talk. He's going to talk. And you know, I'm sure they have a great relationship, so they're going back and forth and they're talking trash and everything. So that's cool.
That's great. Is there going to be a part on Saturday where you stop for a second, look around and just get extra amped up and think, this is what we do this for? This is why I work so hard. We're here and it's the playoffs. You can't only do it for a second because you got a game to play. But do you think it'll sink in and hit you and give you a little extra juice at some point on Saturday?
Yeah, just with the start of the game. I'm going to do that start of the game. I'm going to look around. You know, I pray during the anthem, and I'm just going to, you know, thank God and recognize the stage that he's set and just, you know, play to honor him. And so just go out there and give my best, but definitely take in and soak in the moment.
Well, tell us about the series. Give us your outlook, and what's it going to take for the Magic to come out of this here first round against Cleveland?
Yeah, I think we're just going to have to be ourselves. We're going to have to out-physical them. We're going to have to our defense is going to have to be elite. You know, they've got elite guard. They got bigs who can finish around the basket. They've got, you know, really good shooting as well. In their wins, they shoot the ball really, really well. In their losses, they don't. And so we're going to have to take a three-point line and force them to play inside the two and force Donovan and Darius to make tough twos all night. We're going to have to box out and rebound. And I think that we can do that. I think we've proven that we can take teams off the three-point line. We can force them into tough twos, and we can rebound. And then on the offensive end, we got to continue to let the ball move. And, you know, our guys are going to have to play well. Paolo, Franz, I'm going to have to make some shots. Everybody's going to have to make shots. G. Harris is going to have to get going. Cole is going to have to come into the game and affect the game in a positive way offensively. And, you know, we'll figure it out from there.
I like it. We've all seen it, Jonathan, but you got to see it now. And it's fun for us to watch through you. What kind of perspective has it given you being a dad? There's nothing better, is there?
No, man. It really is hard to find the words. Like, she's getting to that point now where, like, I can call her from another room and she'll come over. She's going to be one really soon. She's recognizing my voice. If I come into the room, she'll come over to me. Like, there's really nothing like it. The love, the purity that they have is amazing. And it really does relate a lot to you know, our relationship with God, where it's just like we don't know what we're doing. And we're trying to now.
There's no manual.
No manual.
In his grace and his patience, and obviously I'll need more of that once she starts talking and running around and all that stuff. The grace and the kindness that we have to show parallels to God. And so I just want to be the best dad I can be, grow as an individual from it, the same way that you know, the prison and all that stuff have taught me things about myself and taught me things about life and taught me things about God. It's going to be the same situation with my daughter and the more kids that we have.
Well, I'm sure you're a phenomenal dad. There's no question about that. Have you guys seen J.I.'s wife during a game? Have you seen how much?
How can you not?
You can't watch. You can't. Can you see it happen live, Jonathan, or do you go back and see it after? There is no bigger fan, which is awesome, but she's front row and she is into it. It is a sight to watch. I don't know if you can see it real time, or you have to go back and see it after.
She absolutely loves it. And I'm like, hey, you got to take it easy. And I'm trying my best. And so, you know, she's great.
I'm a little busy during the games, but I'm going to try and find that.
You got to want to.
You got to help me out, Dante.
All right, last thing, Jonathan. Tell us about the clothing line. Tell us about Judah. Tell us about everything. Unite Us. Tell us about everything that you got. Right, you wrote a book. You got. I mean, you do it all. First of all, but let everybody know about Unite Us. Let everyone know.
I mean, honestly, I just had a lot of downtime with all the injuries. So I got a chance to write a book, and you know, it became a national bestseller, and I think that's so awesome. It's called Why I Stand. You can check it out on Amazon and all that stuff. And with the clothing line and the shoes, it really just came about because, you know, during the bubble, I was signed to Nike. After I tore my ACL, you know, they made the decision not to re-sign me. And I went to my pastor and I told him about it. Hey, I don't have a shoe company. I'm going to possibly be looking elsewhere. And he said, make your own shoe. It's like, that doesn't make any sense. There's make your own shoe. And so we went down the road and started, you know, putting things together. And then it turned into... You know, why just create a sneaker? Why not create an entire sports and apparel company centered around Christ and to give believers encouragement and, you know, for them to stand for their beliefs at the end of the day? And that's really just it, for them to be individuals and say, hey, this is what I believe in. This is what I stand for. And to find a home with like-minded believers from different backgrounds, different places, and us to come together uniting as one. And so that's how Unite Us was born. the Judah one has been honestly amazing. Like we're like going into different things now. It's like low ups now and walking shoes and running shoes and all these different things that we're looking at, slides. But the Judah one, it's the first NBA signature sneaker with visible Bible verses on the outside. And I just wanted
about that. Wow.
The shoe to honor and glorify God. 5 colorways. You can check them out. WeAreUnitus.com, UNITUS. And, you know, appreciate any support.
I can wholeheartedly endorse the book. I read the book. I gave copies to all 3 of my grown children. 2 of my older grandchildren have read the book, and it's just phenomenal. So congratulations on all that you're doing.
Thank you so much. Seriously.
And my mom has it. You could put Unitas on a pot holder and she'll buy it. She got whatever you put out there. She's loaded.
Nice. What's great is we're working on a it's like a trainer / runner shoe right now, specifically for moms. So,
there you go. All right. Well, she'll be on.
I thought you were going to say you're working on a potholder. I thought you were going.
Because I was driving over potholes. I didn't understand what you were talking about.
Well, I appreciate it, John. This has been a lot of fun. We're so happy for you, proud of you. And hey, have a blast. At the end of the day, this is what you do it for. Have a blast and go out there and make some noise.
Absolutely. Will do.
All right. Appreciate you. Jonathan Isaac, the latest edition of Magic Pod Squad. We'll see you next time.